I knew these two ladies that I really loved that used to come into the card room. Ermengarde, who was a very sweet, grandmotherly German lady, and Miss Terry, a lady of also a certain age, who was of Japanese extraction. I used to call these two the Axis partners because they were just as thick as thieves and always came in. They'd bring bags of candy and stuff they'd hand out to the other players. They were lovely, lovely people, but very different. As I said, Ermengarde was very grandmotherly and earthy. Miss Terry was very much an old school lady. She always dressed very elegantly. She was dignified. She was a warm person and just commanded great respect and a very conservative player. If Miss Terry even so much as called in a hand, you needed to be very wary. If she raised, probably it would be best just to leave the table and then leave town with no forwarding address. It was like that. But everyone loved and respected Miss Terry. Well, in this card room, unlike almost all of them, it was in a riverboat type of a deal. It was up on the top deck, and it actually had windows, very unusual for any kind of a card room. And I was playing there one afternoon, and Miss Terry was at the table, and the sun was shining through the windows and apparently getting in her eyes. And she turned to one of the other players, another regular by the name of Oscar, who was this huge, big guy, very nice guy, but a large, large guy with those big, round sausage arms that the really strong guys have, okay? And in fact, I think one of the jobs that he had was he worked security at rock concerts, okay? So Miss Terry turns to Oscar and she says, "Oh, Oscar, dear, that sun is getting in my eyes. Would you mind closing those blinds?" "Sure thing, Miss Terry," he says. And he goes to the window. He's starting to close the blind. Some other player at the table I'd never seen before said, "Hey, wait a second. Maybe I'd like a little sunlight in here." And Oscar loomed over him, and nobody could loom like Oscar. And he said, "Miss Terry wants them closed." And that was the end of the story. Okay, before I tell this next story, just a brief explanation of what a check raise is. That's simply when somebody checks, which says, "I decline to bet," and the next person does make a bet. And then when it gets around to the original person who checked, that person then raises. It's called a check raise, and it's a deceptive move, you know, where you kind of trap somebody. People used to take offense at this kind of thing, but I think these days it's pretty much considered just part of the game. But some non-serious players will actually get upset about it. So that's a check raise. So it's at this game, there was a dealer, he was off duty at the Emerald Queen at the table, and his mother, who was a retired dealer, Christine, they were both at the same table and were playing along. So Jeff checks, and it's checked around to his mother, Christine, the retired dealer, and she bets. And fold, 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 back to Jeff, and he raises. Okay, he check raised her, and people started laughing already at the table. And Christine says, "Sonny, you check raise your own mother?" And Jeff says, "Just like you taught me, Mom." And she just beamed and said, "That's my boy." And it was just kind of an emotional, warm moment for everyone there. Okay, first, a word of explanation just about the mechanics of hold'em poker. At the beginning of the hand, everybody is dealt two cards face down. In that round, people can decide whether they want to play them, whether they want to call the blinds, which is a forced bet, raise or fold or whatever, okay? Once all that round of betting is completed, comes what's called the flop, in which the dealer lays down three cards in the center of the table, and then everybody can combine those cards in any way they want with their own two cards to try to make a hand. And then there's another round called the turn, finally the river, the last round, just so everyone knows. Okay, on this particular hand, it was a dealer named Jane, who I'd become very friendly with over the years. And Jane and I are both huge fans of the movie Tombstone, especially Val Kilmer's portrayal of Doc Holliday. No one else can ever play Doc Holliday ever again in the history of movies. And we were fond of quoting lines from Tombstone back and forth to each other. So a hand had just been completed. Jane had dealt me what in poker is called a bad beat. That's a hand where my opponent should never have stayed in so long. By pure blind luck against my consummate skill, he hit, you know, like a 1 in 100 chance or whatever and beat me, okay? A hand that I should have won. It's called a bad beat. People in poker love to tell bad beat stories. This is the only one you're ever going to hear from me. So I never say anything. Some people blame dealers. It's absurd. I never do. But Jane could see that I was a little upset. And she quoted a line from Tombstone at me, which takes place up in Doc Holliday's room with his girlfriend, Big Nose Kate, who's handing him a cigarette while Doc has got tuberculosis and coughing his lungs out. And she says, "Now, Doc, haven't I always been a good woman to you?" And Doc says, "You have, Kate. And then again, you may be the Antichrist." Okay? So Jane says, "Now, Dick, haven't I always been a good dealer to you?" And, you know, coming back at her, I say, "You have, Jane. But then again, you may be the Antichrist." And as I said that, Jane was dealing out the flop for the next hand. And it was 666. And everybody's jaw dropped. Jane gives me the kind of look that's described as eating something. And she says, "Bet that one, Dick." Poker players hate to get up from the table. God forbid they should miss that hand that'll make them a huge score. So we do two things. One, cultivate superhuman bladder control. And two, when we're hungry, we'll just order something and eat it right there at the table. Now, the only occasion I've seen in which this created a problem occurred in an amusing little 10-20 hold'em game I was involved in a few years ago in a vile dump in Laughlin, Nevada. I'm sitting there folding one junk hand after another when I discover a pair of queens in the hole. The dealer must have made a mistake and dealt these to me. Pocket queens is a real nice starting hand in hold'em, and I put in a raise. Now, since I haven't played a hand in like 30 minutes, the other players put me on a powerhouse, and it's folded around this big, fat, loud guy. Talks like this, sitting there with his shirt open and his pants unbuttoned, and he's holding this huge, messy plate of lasagna right up to his mouth and shoveling it in as he plays. And he's shoveling the chips in, too. This man is a maniac. He will bet, raise, and re-raise on anything or nothing, often. I know this, and I'm not surprised when he re-raises me. And that runs out the remaining two players, and because I know he is a maniac, I still like my queens, and I re-raise him right back. He just takes another gigantic mouthful of lasagna, grunts, and says, "Call." The dealer lays out the flop. It's a four, a six, and a beautiful queen. All different suits, no flush draw. I've got three queens. I like this flop. I bet this flop. He raises. I re-raise. Maniac holds the plate to his greasy lips, scrapes in another colossal mouthful of drippy lasagna, and caps it with the last raise permitted. I call. Next card, a nine. Don't look scary to me. Queens rule. I bet him out again. He raises again. I re-raise. He says, "I don't give a damn. I gotta go to jail this afternoon anyway." And he caps it with his last 20. But just as the dealer is about to lay out the final card, Maniac front loads another hunk of lasagna and starts choking. Pandemonium. Another player gets his arms around him and starts working the Heimlich maneuver. And at exactly the same time that the dealer burns and turns the last card, this wad of lasagna the size of a tennis ball catapults out of his mouth and lands right on the card before anyone can see what it is. It should tell you a lot about poker players that everyone finds this just hilarious. But there's a ton of chips out there, and I want them. I say, "Well, what is it?" The dealer says,
"I'm not touching that."
Heimlich boy reaches out, picks up the gob of expelled lasagna, absentmindedly tucks it back in his mouth, and the card is revealed as a sauce-smeared eight. I turn over my set of queens. Lasagna slob brays out, "What a river!" and shows me the only two cards that can beat me, a five and a seven for a straight. And as the pasta pig rakes in this huge pot, another player says,
Could we have a new deck, please?"
And the game rolls on.
So, Dick, it's been interesting to hear some of your tales of poker in years gone by. Would you say you consider yourself a good poker player?
Well, you know, Gabe, it's really not for me to say that. I will say simply that poker has enabled me to put two kids through college. Not my kids, but